Welcome to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We are all over the map these days, like most all of you. We're excited about some tags that came our way. I did a couple interviews while Dave was out of town, so you guys got to hear that stuff. We're kind of bouncing around these days, going in a million different directions, but Dave and I are finally back together in the studio.
Yes.
Dave, where were you?
I was in Tennessee visiting my granddaughter and son-in-law and daughter, but primarily my granddaughter.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I found out that I'm going to be a grandfather again.
Yo.
Yeah.
From the other side?
No, from the same side. She has, yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, so yeah.
You didn't lead with that? We just started talking tags when you got here. You didn't lead with that?
Well, you know, tags are pretty cool.
Yeah, but tags are really cool, Dave.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm gonna be a grandfather.
Twice over,
yeah. Gina and I are, yeah. I'm gonna have to get one of those onesie suits.
Yep.
That you see older men wearing.
I may have
to purchase a golf cart, I think.
Dave, this is my genuine reaction because we sat down in my office and we BS'd about hunting and tags and this, that, the other thing. And now you drop this one on me.
I dropped the bomb on you. Yeah, I figured let's see what his reaction's going to be. And it's
okay.
Solid.
No BS. Have you gotten serious about looking for property down there?
You know, when I was down there and they told me the news like an hour after I got there. So I was like in heaven. I was like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. We did. We went and looked at some properties in Dandridge.
Okay.
Tennessee. What was the other one?
They've got a shampoo that fixes that now.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Which thankfully I don't need it. Then Sevierville. I think it's
Sevier, spelled weird, right?
Yeah.
S-E-V-I-E-R.
Yeah, Sevierville or Sevierville. I think it's Sevierville.
Okay.
So those two places kind of been bouncing around looking at some spots and kind of a deal. But, you know, I'm not leaving Reno. Reno's home.
But. Right. But I'm talking property, like you could put a little hunting deal and...
Yeah, like, you know, little one of those cabins you can purchase off of Amazon.
Right.
The new Sears and Roebuck catalog, which is called Amazon.
That's basically what, that's a great analogy.
There ain't no doubt about it. Heck, you can buy cars on friggin' Amazon now.
Cannot buy guns, though.
No.
That's kind of a bummer.
No, but you know,
Times have changed.
So that's about it. But the trip was awesome. It was fantastic. Had a great time. But I'm glad to be back. I know I was in Tennessee when the tags came out. So I was nonstop refreshing my phone. And I kept thinking, oh, crud, I'm 3 hours ahead. It's only 4 o'clock in the morning in Reno.
Why isn't Henry getting back to me?
Yeah, I know. What the heck? What's going on? But then it all happened.
Yeah, it did happen.
Hit that refresh button, and I saw some successful marks on my tags.
Absolutely did.
I did.
Before we spill the beans on the good stuff, it seems like I have found out about tags at least three different ways. I have gotten the email first.
Yeah.
I have seen a charge on my card first. And now this year, I was actually in the account.
Yeah, in your personal account. Yeah, hitting the refresh.
So is it just kind of a crapshoot every year which pops first? Or is the log into the account and hit refresh, is that the best bet every year?
This year it was the best bet. Last year, like you said, I got an email first.
Yes, same. Yeah.
I mean, I was refreshing my account last year and I got an email first.
Yep. It didn't pop up till after the email came out.
Yeah, and then this year my email came out. I got my email on Saturday telling me what my tags were.
Yeah, a day later.
A day later. So I don't know. I'm not sure how it all plays out. As long as we keep doing those three methods, I think
one of the three works.
One of them will work. One of them will kick off.
About 4 or 5 years ago, it was the logging into my bank account
and seeing
charges for Endow. And I went, okay, and I'm trying to do the math because it was like multiple tags. And so I'm like, well, take 31 out. And I was like, I drew multiples of something.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, yeah, this year, hey, I think you found out first. Because I think I got a text from you, hey, I drew these.
Right.
And I went, dude, I don't have an email. I don't see any charges on my bank. Oh, I got to go to my account.
Yeah.
And that's when I saw stuff. So, Dave, let's go. I'll tell you what, folks, I shot the team whiskey shoot a couple weeks back. At some point, I want to make sure we talk about that. But first, let's go tags, and we'll go you first, Dave. What'd you draw?
So I drew my archery cow elk. Yep. I drew archery deer, yep. And then the wife and I got a antelope shorter than ears tag. She likes that hunt.
Perfect.
She likes that Perfect. Hunt. So I was like, okay, we're going to be... I saw that and I was like, man, I'm going to be busy this year. And then you contact me like, guess what Cynthia got?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, that adds to my busyness. And then our best buddy, Pat, he drew a California tag 2 years ago, right?
Three.
Two or three.
Yeah, I think it was
three.
So he
drew his California. We spent 20 days out there. That's a whole nother program. And then this year he draws his desert.
Yeah.
With, I think, I'm not going to say how many points because a lot of people would be very upset.
Yeah. Not a ton.
Yeah.
Same with Cynthia. Not a ton of points. Now, the difference is Pat's is in a real, notorious makes it, has like negative connotations. Pat's is in a well-known unit for those sheep.
Yes.
And a very good, productive unit for those sheep.
Yeah, the last 3 years, there's been at least one 170 pulled out of there for the last 3 years.
It's a good unit.
Several other mid to upper 160s have been pulled out of there. You know, as long as he can get it done.
Well,
you know,
Pat, if you listen to this episode, do I want to dime myself out? I will. I'll dime myself out. I have a weird superstition that I got to have a mustache for a sheep to get killed. And you know how these things start? You do something goofy on a couple hunts. And they're slam dunks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, cool. And then on Pat's hunt for his Cali tag, I think I just had my standard short beard thing going.
Right.
I thought, yeah, I'm not going to do it. Nah, it doesn't make any sense. It's all right. So we get out there. And then, you know, what happened on Pat's hunt happened.
Yeah.
And I got it in my head a little bit afterwards. I went, this is why. Now, rational thinking, sane people.
Dude, there's no rational thinking when it comes to hunting.
Especially sheep hunting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, that couldn't have been the reason. But that kind of stuff gets in your head. And so as soon as I got a text from my wife that said, I think I drew something good. And I'm like, okay, cool. What? And she goes, I think it's really good. And I'm like, okay.
There's a lot of really good ones out there.
What are we talking about here? And she goes, I think it's really... Anyway, I'm like, geez, Louise. Okay, whatever. Finally, she sends me a screenshot. She got a California Bighorn sheep tag. Now, it's a management hunt, but still.
Oh, yeah.
With not a ton of points. And so as soon as that happened, I have that superstitious side of me where I went, that's it. I got to shave the rest of my face. I'm keeping a mustache till November. So for those of you that run into me, yes, I do look homeless.
When I saw you today, when you were walking in, I was like, oh, he's got the 70s porn stash.
That's
happening.
What it is.
And it does. It looks good. It looks good. Are you going to let it grow out to where you curl the edges and curl it up? Kind of like Doc Holliday type of style?
I have mine just turns into like a Tom Selleck.
Oh, just a big old
just
bushy,
a
like
big old,
like you have a cat's tail on your lip.
Bingo.
Gotcha.
Bingo. That's what mine turns into. So I'll probably rock that and I'll keep going with the curly mullet.
Yeah.
And come November, I'm going to look like a trash heap.
No, you'll look good. Well, I mean, you can't, I mean, think about it. I mean, Tom Selleck and
Burt Reynolds.
Well, no, Burt. Yeah, his is okay. But what's his, oh gosh, dang it. I just had his name in my head. Like two classic dudes with mustaches. Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott. Yeah.
I mean, come on. Those guys are, that's like.
Hey, as long
that's
as
the standard.
There is a sheep on the ground.
Yes.
Come November.
Yes.
I could give a rip what I look like. But that's that. Yeah. So, and I do not want to overshadow another tag in my family, but I'm looking at the clock. So let's go ahead and go to a quick break. Thank you to our show sponsors, Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Battleborn Tree Service, and Truck Envy. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, welcome back to Nevada Backcountry on this Sunday. Thank you to our show sponsors, Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Battleborn Tree Service, and Truck Envy. I got a report from Rightful Liberty Arms, Michael over there. I think he's got two more. He's got a couple more hats. So go in, spend more than $50 or $50 or more, get a free Nevada Backcountry hat, and I can run some more over to him when he runs out. At the end of last segment there, Dave, we're talking about another tag that I would say arguably for me as a parent is just as exciting as a sheep tag in the house. My eldest daughter, Madeline, got her pronghorn tag.
That is awesome.
The youth
awesome.
Junior pronghorn.
Tag.
First tag. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I remember that day. That was
pretty excited.
It is awesome knowing that they are just as excited to get out there. Now, she's rifle. She's going to go
yes.
for the rifle?
Yeah, and we can talk about that real quick. So everybody that listens to the show knows my family. Well, in fact, we all shot the team course at the Team Whiskey event.
Yeah.
Kudos to my kids because...
Did they stick it out this time, do the whole course again?
100%.
Dude, that
and
is nuts.
We didn't do the family course. We did the team course.
Oh, shit. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's even longer.
Oh, it was a lot of hiking.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, Alice tumbled down a hill, and there were some tears, and I thought maybe I bit off more than I could chew.
But they stuck with it.
Yeah, they did.
That's right. Now, I can see Wyatt. Like, he's
a
squirrel.
Yeah.
And he can go up and down the trees, come back and forth. He's like, it's like your hunting dog.
Yep.
You're not going to wear him out.
No. But he does that little kid BS. You know what he starts, about five targets in, he starts going, I'm hungry.
Oh.
We're like, all right, we got snacks. And then, you know, by target 10, it was, I'm tired. And it's like, all right, Wyatt, we've been watching you pogo stick off stumps all day. And for those unaware, this is up at Heavenly. So steep. Side country stuff, like tons of downland. Anyway, so he's doing, well, anyway, so then he goes through a little bit of the woe is me stuff, you know? He's like, well, I'm tired, my leg, da-da-da. Anyway, finishes the course. Well, the last target, you got to hike down the chairlift line and then back up to the tram to get back to the base lot. Anyway, so here Wyatt is, for the last like eight targets, been saying nothing but he's tired. He's pogo sticking again, feet together, down... Maybe not quite a 45, but a pretty dang steep mountainside. And he's just hopping 2 feet the whole way, laughing. Bing, bing, bing,
oh,
bing,
Jesus.
Bing. And I'm like, what happened to being tired? And then he's like running around. So anyway, we shot that. Where the heck was I going with that? Oh, that's right. Archery stuff, Dave. So.
Yeah. track, buddy, track.
Squirrel. So, we did that. Anybody that listens to the show knows my family shoots a ton of archery stuff. Talk to both of them because they both Cynthia and Madeline have any legal weapon tags.
Yeah.
So they could both hunt it, archery, if they so choose to. However, for this hunt, I got them a Seekins Havoc Element or something. Anyway, I got him a 6.5 Creedmoor rifle.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The same rifle that I have in 7 PRC. Actually, there's a little nicer. It's a newer version. We have been putting in a lot of hours at the gun range.
Nice.
And I think they both...
Have Pat go with you.
Yeah, I know. I told him, I invited him. I said, hey, Pat, you'll hate me come your sheep hunt, but I promise you, you will be as ready as humanly possible.
Yeah.
So that's what we're on the full blown. I've turned into my former self as like an infantry NCO. And I'm like, look, this is what we're doing. This is the program. This is how many rounds I want each of you to get through the gun. So that is their setup for these hunts.
Nice.
6.5 Creedmoor Seekins with a Night Force SHV or something, but just bulletproof setup. And I've got both of them shooting nonstop.
Good.
They're both shooting sub MOA groups at 100. Now that's all we've done is punch paper, but yeah, I don't want to stress Madeline out, Dave. Yeah, she's got that one rifle hunt under her belt for whitetails.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a stressful thing for her with the whole killing. So I don't want to introduce now the archery, like stress her over that.
Yeah.
And she's not quite at 40 pounds.
Yeah.
So we'd have to be working up to that.
Yeah. So that's just another stressful element. So no, I think it's a good choice, man. I think it's good, but that's awesome. She's got her tag. She's
stoked.
She's stoked. She's in the pool for it.
Yep.
Nice.
She's been hiking. She does these fitness videos with Cynthia.
Oh,
she's taking it seriously.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's awesome.
So okay. I'm excited, man. So the women at my house, they dominated.
Own the day.
Yeah.
Own the day.
Which isn't atypical
for Yeah.
But anyway, so now your hunts, Dave. Yours are two archery
and a rifle. And any legal weapon shorter than yours. Yeah, that same thing.
Are you gonna get it done with a rifle, or are you gonna stick to the archery thing the whole time?
I don't know. I'm gonna bring them both. I'm gonna bring the muzzle loader too.
That's a great call.
I wanna try getting the antelope with the muzzle loader, but the wife loves that tag, and she'll pull the 308 out, the Hawa 308, and then she just rips it. So she'll have a good time.
Are you going to get her out and shoot before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. She even mentioned, she goes, we got to get out and start putting some bullets through the gun.
Yeah,
We definitely have to.
Well, after this show, in fact, most Sundays now have been go to the Carson Range right there.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So that's...
Yeah, that's where we end up going, too. So, yeah, we'll have to figure it out, have us all go and
get go, Pat.
Yes, definitely get Pat.
To go. Yeah.
Yeah, because he wants to shoot his 300 Win Mag.
Again.
Yeah. I said that's a big gun for a sheep, but it's your gun.
You know, with modern bullet design, and for anybody listening that's familiar with G9 Defense, they make a 113 grain turned brass bullet with petals that open up and a solid core that continues to penetrate.
Huh.
So it is all the rage in the 6.5 crowd, and I'm fortunate enough to have a relationship with Jim Irwin at Shooting Performance Institute. He swears by this stuff. Says, no, absolutely, you are not undergunned with a 6.5 Creedmoor up to moose with these bullets.
Wow.
Because of that penetrator core, you will get penetration, you'll get tons of blood loss, put it where it needs to go, you're good.
And you're good.
I'm looking all at right. it, I'm going 113 grain bullet, I don't know about that, but if I'm Pat... Yeah. Man, maybe I'd go with them. He likes that 300 Win Mag.
Yeah, he loves it. So, yeah. So, yeah, get some practice in. So, that'll be fun.
We need to get him out. And for people that listen to the show, you know I'm going to get on my soapbox about this stuff. I told Cynthia she's got basically a month and a half on the flat range. And then we're never seeing it again. And I've got enough steel gongs. We're going out in the desert. And it's, run to the top of this hill. Can you hit a 12-inch steel gong at 400?
Right.
Okay, now we're going to downsize. I got some 8-inch steel gongs. Can you hit an 8-inch at 5? But I told her, I was like, you're going to hate me. But we're not going to just go and marvel at, dime-sized groups at 100 yards all summer.
Right.
And then get out there, and now you're out of breath, and you're on a pack, and it's a 27-degree downhill angle, and you can't figure out why you're missing.
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
No, been down that road.
Yeah, that sucks. So unfortunately for Cynthia, and if Gina and Pat want to jump in too, like I said, we've got the Henry's School of Shooting going this summer. So in between vacations, scouting, all of that, we got some shooting to do, Dave.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's been good. Built my arrows, got my bow ready.
What are you going to hunt with for arrows?
I am shooting my FMJs.
Solid arrow.
Yep, 100%. I got my FMJs, and I'm shooting the 100-grain interlocker broadhead this year.
What are the interlockers?
So Muzzy purchased the interlocker patent a couple years ago, so it's now a Muzzy. But back then it was actually called interlocker.
Okay. Why does that sound familiar, Dave? Describe it to me. Was it a four-blade type deal?
No, it's a three-blade. It's a standard three-blade. The blades are at a 90-degree, so they slide into the ferrule.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now. Okay.
Yeah.
It looks like a Muzzy.
Yeah. Yeah, so Muzzy bought the company many years ago. So, and they still produce, but I think it's called something else.
Okay.
I still had like a dozen and a half or so. Well, more than that, two dozen of those things. So I'm like, I'm going to shoot them this year. They did really well on all the deer I've killed with them.
Yep.
And after last year's deal with the slick tricks, I'm going to put those aside for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, they're great. Don't get me wrong. Those slick tricks are friggin' phenomenal broadheads.
No, but it's the same reason I'm sitting here with a mustache right now.
Exactly.
You get stuff in your head.
You got to move things around.
Rearrange the energy.
For 3 years, I only wore blue underwear.
Yeah, perfect.
When I was hunting, because I had filled every tag that I had received for 3 years.
Oh, the madness.
And I was like, I got to wear blue underwear.
Yeah.
So it was blue underwear.
Yeah.
And then when I didn't fill them, then I was like, screw it. I'm going back to whatever I want to wear.
I got to assume that you and I are not outliers in that. That
no.
There are other hunters out there where it's like, I touched the tailgate three times.
Yeah.
I would love to hear other
other hunters'
superstitions.
Yeah. Like, I know there's got to be guys that when they drive into a canyon, like one thing that Jody and I did when he and I were hunting together is as soon as we made the turn to go into the canyon to hunt, we cracked open a drink.
Perfect.
And yeah. we saluted our hunt, and that was our tradition. That was our thing. If you didn't do that, your hunt was screwed.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's things like dudes drive into a canyon area and like, hey, dude, you got to stop at the broken aspen. We got to pee on it.
Yeah.
Just weird that guys do.
100%.
You know, guys do.
When we come back, I got a sheep hunting superstition or ritual. We'll talk about that. Talk about the Team Whiskey shoot a little bit. I know we kind of briefly went over it. And then we will talk about the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation land transfer or land...
Land easement, 23,000 acres in the state of Nevada.
Big win for sports.
Huge, Area 7.
Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry on this Sunday. Man, we've talked about tags a little bit, talked about some of our superstitions. I want to talk about, and I don't know if this is a common thing. I think it is, because I want to make sure I'm not making a liar out of myself, Dave, but a sheep hunting superstition / tradition. Take one of the legs, and you got to put it in the highest bush you can see so they can run with their ancestors. So you leave a leg out there.
Just leave a leg.
Knee down. No meat or anything.
And you stick it up in a tree.
Well, the highest bush you can see. Yep.
Huh. I did not know that.
That was from a Battle Mountain sheep chasing critter.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of a different.
From an old. In fact, I don't know if he's still alive. I hope he is because he's a good dude. But that's one of those weird little sheep hunting tradition things. So anyway, that and my mustache. Let's see, Dave, where do you want to go? Any more on, I hate gloating on air, but I also, it's an exciting time of the year. And
it really is.
Full disclosure, I didn't draw anything. And I think I'm more excited for my daughter and wife to draw than I am for if I had drawn something.
Oh, without a doubt. No, there's plenty of hunting for you to do, but then you're also going to Canada for moose.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
You already went to Argentina.
I already did Argentina.
You started hunting. Your hunting season started a while ago. So, yeah.
That's valid.
But no, I just wanted to, one thing I did want to do is kind of throw in there the Team Whiskey stuff. They're still Bear Valley is June 13th and 14th.
Yes.
And then...
China Peak?
I think it's China Peak, July 18th and 19th.
Yes.
So if you had a chance to shoot the Heavenly one this year and you just didn't get yourself enough of it, you got two more chances, Bear Valley and China Peak. And those are really good locations for the shoot. You know, Heavenly, I think, is the best because it's right in our back.
Yeah. And okay, so congrats to Mike Moody.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Oh, you saw that too.
I saw that too. Yeah. Our fellow archer and hunting house
hanger on
team shooter. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He does shoot
he
for
shoots
him.
For, yeah, he shoots for hunting house with Chandler and the gang. But yeah, he won his division.
He did.
He won his division.
Yeah. Won some money. Got a check out of it, I think.
Well, almost a grand out of that deal.
Good for him.
Good for him. So, no, he's a heck of a shooter once he's on track.
We did not even keep score. My family did.
Why? Yeah. Well, you got four little ones just flinging arrows out there. I mean, trying to keep score would be maddening.
Yes. Okay, not as impressive as Mike Moody, but I'll pat myself on the back. I didn't miss a single target, and I didn't lose a single arrow.
For a Team Whiskey shoot, that's huge.
And Dave, it was an eye opener.
Yeah.
It's no exaggeration. You might be trying to hit at 51 yards, an 8-inch gap between limbs.
Oh, yeah.
And with nothing but a boulder behind the target.
Yeah.
It was awesome, and it was a little intimidating shooting my fixed 5-pin setup.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Because they even say don't bring less than a dozen arrows.
Which I did.
Yeah, don't bring less than a dozen.
And I only needed one. Yeah,
that's it. I mean, that's a win all in its own.
I didn't miss it.
Yeah, that's
I shot
awesome.
Really well.
Yeah.
For me, I was like, holy smokes, man.
I'm kind of curious, what was the longest shot did you find out what the longest shot in the
on the whiskey
in the advanced course?
Yeah, I think they call that the so there's the family course, the team course, and the whiskey course.
Yeah, the whiskey course.
Whiskey
yeah.
course. I do not know what the longest yardage was.
I know they said it, nothing was under 50 yards.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, nothing
okay.
under 50. And I thought I'd read somewhere that the furthest shot was like 140.
Ooh, buddy.
Yeah. yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of carbon fiber sitting on that mountain.
Yeah. Well, not every, but a lot of the targets we went to. So the team course is, I think it was between 35 yards and 70-ish, maybe high 60s, I think was the longest. And there were plenty of broken. I was shocked by how, man, there were a lot of narrow windows to yeah. lace arrows. And you had to trust that, like, there were some with limbs where it's like, I got to trust that my arrow is going to arc over that or under it or whatever.
Yeah.
There were quite a few where it's like, okay, you could just see the top, maybe 3-4 inches of the target. It was like over a little knoll or something.
Yeah, so mentally you've got to realize your arrow's going to go behind
arc.
It.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, grant that where you want to hit is on the other is being hidden by a boulder.
Right.
But you got to trust your equipment and your bow to go, okay, it's going to go over this and in. Kind of like they had that at the Winnemucca shoot this year. They had a steel plate on the indoor 3D. A steel plated deer in front of the elk, and the kill zone was
below
was hidden
visually
was visually hidden so yeah. you're putting your I think the shot was like 62 yards or something, so you're putting your 60 yard pin on the metal target and
right.
you've got to hope your brain is like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
but you're hoping it's like, no, you know what you're doing, okay, let's just keep pulling through, pull rip,
good follow through. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I'll tell you, you knew the people that weren't, because you heard a lot of
bing.
Tinging.
Yeah.
We
heard a lot of clattering in the granite boulders of arrows. But yeah, there was that, I'm going to pick this spot on that boulder, and I got to settle my pin on it, because 2 to 4 feet on the other side is what I want to hit.
Yeah.
So, okay. Or, I'm going to settle on this part of the stump.
Yeah.
And trust that my arrow arcs in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, no, that's the beauty of those shoots. So, yeah. Now, about
Talk to
Rocky
me.
Mountain Elk Foundation? I mean, they're doing some fantastic stuff. They always have. They've always done some really great stuff. But this 23,000 acres that they have, they've gotten a land easement with this rancher for 23,000 acres in Area 7. Outside of Elko.
Yeah. Now, do we know who the property belongs to yet?
I do not.
It's Windermere Hills.
Windermere Hills Ranch.
So I don't know who owns that. But here, I'll do the quick. You want me to rip through the Cliff's Notes real quick? So 23,000 acres, crucial range for elk. It's also a migration corridor for the second largest mule deer herd in the state.
Yeah.
And it is now protected, as of this morning, it is protected under a voluntary conservation agreement or a conservation easement between the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and this is what the whole article continues to refer to, a private landowner. So here's the really cool thing, though, and I don't want to lose sight of this.
Right.
In addition to that 23,000 acres they've set aside, there is an access easement across the ranch property that now opens up a total of 47,000 acres to sportsmen and women.
Oh, wow.
For us to be able to hunt.
Is that the Highway 93, the over the wildlife crossing?
Well,
Talk
about some of that. Let's see. So this would be through, like, up there in the Pequop range. So like northeast of Wells.
Okay.
In
range
up there.
So
it talks about in the article, it goes into the mule deer using the US 93 wildlife crossings during the 4 years of monitoring and data gathering for both mule deer and elk. But it sounds like, and I don't know if these are separate or if they are like combined, if they're counting that 23,000 acres towards the 47, or if that access across the property is now opening up an entirely new 47,000 acres. So I apologize to listeners. I don't have every detail. I'm just reading the press release from Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation.
Well, yeah, because there's also what they acquired almost $1 million from Fish and Wildlife Service and some type of a habitat preservation or something organization.
It was like 800 some odd thousand bucks.
Yeah, something for doing work within this zone. To improve it, to do some seeding, some plantings, or what have you. So that's going to be really cool. But
these are those things where when Dave and I get together, we're like, hey, we got to make sure we talk about this on the show. And then next thing you know, we're cracking open the microphones and talking. But there is a 4-part docuseries. If you go to YouTube and go to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation's channel.
Right.
I just have not watched it yet.
Oh,
I was looking at it this morning and I went, oh man, I need to watch that. And, it would probably be in everyone's best interest if I would do this prior to going to air.
Well, yeah, but you know.
But why?
Why? We like winging it. I mean, this isn't, this isn't.
This is a highly professional.
This isn't Armstrong and Getty.
Like, no.
They do all that research all day long, and then they come with facts and everything. That just reeks of effort.
I don't want to out anybody, but I will. I was amazed the first time I saw Lars Larson do his show. And so when you listen to Lars's show and he'll spit out these real obscure and he's like, well, now, Genie, you got to remember that in 1917, this da da da, and he'll like rattle off these obscure facts. And I was like, God dang, man, Lars Larson is a walking encyclopedia. How does he do that? Okay, here's the curtain pullback for everybody. When I saw him do his show live, he's got two guys on laptops.
Oh, ripping
like
stuff
they're
out.
Just
fact checking,
searching. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So I will say, on this show, this is Dave and I staring at each other.
That's it.
We got our cell phones. Occasionally, we have printed stuff, but I don't have a team of people sitting here with laptops going, holding it up, showing me the screen so I can sound
like,
more intelligent than I am.
Oh, so it's not just pulling things out of your butt like I wanted. No one's going to.
We're loose cruising here, Dave.
That's it.
It is an off the cuff. What you hear is what you get.
Yeah.
It is you and I. Occasionally we'll fact check each other over the break with our phones. But for the most part, what goes to air is opinion and a little bit of fluff, a little bit of meandering.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of meandering.
Waxing philosophical.
Yeah. Like right now, I'm just mesmerized by your stash.
Oh, God,
I'm used to your beard. So
I'm going to look at the wall while I talk.
Yeah, right. So in the next couple weeks, all I'm going to be thinking about is Ron Jeremy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
The hedgehog. Wait, why do I know that?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, on that note, we are going to go to break. Do not go anywhere. We got one more segment of Nevada Backcountry coming up. Hey, welcome back to Nevada Backcountry. Sincere thank you to Shooting Performance Institute. Make sure you sign up for the August long range shooting course. I believe he's got one, coming up end of June as well, but go to shootingperformanceinstitute.com and check out the course schedule. Sign up for one of those if you have one of those coveted any legal weapon tags in your back pocket. Sincere thanks to Rightful Liberty Arms, Battleborn Tree Service, and Truck Envy. Oh, now we've done a bit of gloating. We've talked about the Team Whiskey archery shoot, the fun to be had there, the upcoming Team Whiskey shoots at the other facilities, Bear Valley, Chinapeak. Now on a more somber note, Dave, there was recently a rescue. Some guys got excited, as we tend to do.
Yeah.
Drew some tags, said, hey, we're going out now. We're going to go check this out. We want to check out the unit and do whatever, knock around, figure out access, yada, yada, yada. This is going to be a little more one of those Safety Sammy PSA segments.
Yes.
They got themselves in a little bit of a bind.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
What exactly happened?
So it sounds like from what I've gotten is that they had some tags and they went out. I don't know if they were putting up a blind or they were checking out some water or some, but jumped out of the truck, jumped in the UTV and said, screw it. Let's do it. And they took off and they ended up like a lot of miles away from the truck.
Right.
And they had some malfunctions. They machined, something happened. Well, they had nothing. They had no water. They had no jackets. They had nothing. And
right.
So we're just trying to let people know, if you're going to get out there and you're going to go do some exploring, go check out some new canyons, go put up your antelope blind or what have you, whatever, it doesn't take but 30 seconds to grab that 1 gallon jug of water and a backpack that has a hoodie, you know, and maybe a blanket or what have you, some snacks, stuff like that. Doesn't take any time to just throw that in the back of the bed of the side-by-side or your ATV and then get going.
Yeah.
Okay. My best advice is, I do this for myself. Anytime I go out, I give my wife a map of, this is going to be where I'm going to be camping, or I'm going to be parking the truck. And then I have a polygon of, like, this is the area that I'm going to be scouting in or hiking in. So she knows, and she knows when I'm going to be home. So, like, these folks, I guess they didn't show up at home, and family was like, oh, that's not right. They
something's wrong.
Been home. So luckily the family was like, you know, we better call somebody. Got some folks out there, and hours and hours and hours of them walking through the canyons. They were still walking, dehydrated and just wrecked. Yeah. And they were still, I guess, a few miles from the truck and at dark. And
I hate to laugh because it is a serious situation, but man, oh man. Yeah.
Yeah. So a little thing, hey man, we're just going over this one ridge.
Right.
That statement right there can put you in a serious hot water. So just let's be safe out there, folks. Let's, you know, be cautious of fellow hunters and such, and just be safe about it. Like I said, it doesn't take any time to throw a few things on your rig that'll save your life, or, you know, at least keep you out of trouble. And so you get home safe to your family is the key here.
I never go, you've hunted enough with me now.
Oh, yeah.
I never go anywhere without my pack, and in it, I've got, at least I carry a gallon of water, an Nalgene and a 3-liter bladder, a rain shell, a down puffy that packs down to basically the size of a Nalgene bottle, and then a trash bag.
Yeah.
And usually a kill kit that's got a multi-tool or something in it. But I mean, that's, you're talking,
liquid IV pack.
Oh yeah. I do like throwing some snacks in.
And I always have granola bars in there.
Yeah.
Granola bars or a bag of jerky or something.
I figure no matter what, if I, let's say, compound fracture my leg, I got a tourniquet myself, which I do run a tourniquet on the waist belt of my packs. But let's say I got a tourniquet myself with a gallon of water, a rain shell, a down puffy, and a trash bag, and a few snackies.
You're good.
I can survive long enough if I got to fire up that InReach SOS.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. These InReaches, man, they've come down so much on price.
Yeah.
That I don't see how a hunter, granted, you know, you're going to go, oh, dude, what are you? Well, you born in 2000? Blah, blah. I do remember the days where you had a paper map, and that's how you got around the mountains. But when you've got the opportunity to have that satellite Garmin InReach, and you can hit the holy button, it alerts your family and stuff that something went wrong. You know, I guarantee you, you're going to be happy that happened. If you're, like you said, if you're down a ditch and you got a broken leg and you're like, oh, well, I guess I'll just lay here and hopefully
somebody finds me,
even though it's day two of my 10-day hunt.
Yep.
You know, that kind of, but yeah, those.
No, I think they're great insurance.
Awesome. Oh,
yeah. Great insurance for listeners, you know, because the original gripe about them used to be like, well, you got to pay that monthly subscription thing. Now you can pause and restart.
Yeah.
So like my brother only starts his up during hunting season, and he pays like $8.99 a month for hunting season, $9 a month. I keep mine on year. I pay the $12 for the whatever year, $12 a month year round. I just do that because I don't know. I knock around out in the middle of nowhere enough. I think
I'm out in the mountains 12 months out of the year.
It's good insurance.
Yeah, it's always on.
And I'll tell you too, I never used to think about it like you. I probably did the paper map thing and the compass protractor.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I did the compass. Mine was more like open the map, like, okay, I think I'm on this squiggly line right here.
You didn't, intersection, resection, reverse azimuth, back azimuth.
Yeah, I did all that stuff. I didn't carry all the tools. I was just.
Yeah. So, but I will tell you, two experiences now have solidified I will always carry an InReach. One was being, and for those of you that have hunted that area, the Gila Wilderness in New Mexico. Yeah, I get it. Nevada is a big, empty, rural state. I got news for you. We went 157 miles on a dirt road without seeing a power line just to get to the entrance of the Gila National Forest down there in New Mexico.
Oh, man.
It's remote big country. And we were in there about 4 or 5 miles in the middle, you know, backpacking into the wilderness. And my dad stepped right over a rock rattlesnake, which is a species of rattlesnake down there.
Oh,
stepped
dang.
Right over one. And we were on top of this bluff about 4 or 5 miles back in the Gila wilderness. And I thought, man, we drove 157 miles without seeing a power line just to get to the edge of the wilderness to park. Now we're another 4 or 5 miles on foot back in here. And that could have gotten ugly really, really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So that, and then the standoff with the grizzly with my brother up in Idaho a few years back, both of those instances, I was like, thank God for an INRI.
Yeah, and another good example is Timmy.
What happened with Timmy?
Timmy, he was caribou hunting out on the Hall Road in Alaska, which if anyone knows the Hall Road, once you leave civilization, you have to bring your own fuel, everything. It is about 20 hours of driving on the Hall Road to get to the big migration area for the caribou. So he was out there with his UTV or his ATV. He was going through this portion of the tundra and the ATV flipped back.
Ooh, and onto him?
Handlebar hit him right in the hip and destroyed his hip, crushed his hip.
Ooh.
So he was stuck there underneath an ATV, couldn't get it off, but he had his...
In reach?
Yeah, that or the satellite phone.
Oh, okay.
And without either one of those, he would have been dead.
Yeah.
Because he was so far out, it still took the helicopter, I think he said 6 hours to get to him.
Look, it's great insurance.
It is. $8 a month. I don't care if it's $25 a month.
It's worth
you
it.
You know, better than getting found 20 years later in some canyon.
I think about just dying a slow, painful death somewhere out in the middle of nowhere going, oh, this sucks, man.
I think that would have been Timmy. That would have been a horrible way, dude. Yeah.
At least with like my standoff with the grizzly, it would have been like, all right, man, I'm going to get mauled and eaten. I might have a few minutes before blood loss gets me, but it's not like languishing for a week.
Underneath an ATV that you can't lift off of you and you're pinned up against a ditch.
Yeah. All right. We are getting into Cormac McCarthy Blood Meridian grotesque territory here. So on that note, we're going to wrap up the show. A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yes. Just be safe out there, everybody. Just think about it. Be safe.
Take care of yourselves, everybody. Do not go anywhere. Tom Gresham's Gun Talks coming up next.